Welcome to Conversations with Sarah. I'm Sarah Redden, creator of the SRTT Self-Care Club. Thanks for joining us. And today I am joined by Beth, an integrative health practitioner. I knew I was going to stumble over that, who's going to share her journey to healing. Hello, Beth. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So when we connected, I felt like there were some similarities in our stories. So I'm really interested to sort of hear more about kind of your, what's gone on for you, your healing journey, where you are now, and sort of how your business relates to that. So if you're happy to do so, can you introduce yourself for me,
please? Yeah, sure. I would love to. So I am Beth Smith, and I am an integrative health practitioner. And basically what that is I use functional medicine to help people find not just what the symptoms that they're having are, but why they're having the symptoms. And I ended up as an integrative health practitioner because of my own personal health journey. So I started as a teenager having sinus infections and lots of hormonal imbalances. And as I went into my 20s, it continued to get worse. And so I would have a sinus infection. I would be given an antibiotic. I would get better. A few months later, I would do the same thing. And that cycle continued throughout my 20s. My hormonal imbalances continued to grow. I was given birth control. It would help it for a little while, and then it wouldn't help it. So they would change the birth control, and the hormonal imbalances would go away for a little while, and they would come back. And as most people do, when I would go to the doctor and I was sick and they would hand me a medication or they would hand me a prescription, I would say, okay.
And I would take it and it sorts the symptoms out for a minute. And then
Exactly. So that pattern continued well into my 40s. And in my 40s, the sinus infections became more severe and it took longer for the antibiotics to work. Mm-hmm. And I was now, instead of getting one every 3 to 4 months, I was getting a sinus infection every month or two, and every month would go get a different antibiotic. And if this antibiotic didn't work, they would give me a stronger antibiotic. And finally, in my 40s, kind of, I think just the years of antibiotic use and birth control and everything, my body just kind of said enough. And I got to the point that I was almost always sick. And so kind of two paths that brought me here. The first one was the chronic infections and going to the doctor with my probably fifth or sixth sinus infection in as many months, and him saying to me, you have no immune system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm in my mid 40s and I'm thinking, how can I have no immune system? How is that even possible? But the doctor never said to me, here's how we can fix your immune system. He just said, you have no immune system, and that's that.
Get on with it.
Yeah. And at the same time, the hormonal path was kind of ready to erupt. And the birth control pills were no longer working. I was in constant pain. I just had so many issues. And my doctor said, you need a hysterectomy. And so, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So people wouldn't see my voice, my face then, because I wasn't talking, but my jaw, I was like, that's an extreme response to.
Yes.
For anyone to experience, it's major surgery for one, and it's going to trigger a whole load of stuff. That's like a major thing to manage.
Yes.
Symptoms.
It is major. So, you know, on this side, nobody ever spoke to me about why I was having chronic infections or how to stop it or how to fix my immune system. They've just said, here is what's going to make your symptoms go away. Yeah. And then eventually the antibiotics quit working. And then over here, nobody's saying, let's look at why you're having the hormonal imbalances. Why are you in pain all the time? Why are you having all of these issues? The pills aren't working, so let's do surgery instead. And of course, again, that was to me, and in the moment, I was like, let's do it. If it means the pain will go away, let's do it. And so I had the hysterectomy. I was still having the chronic infections. And then it was like the perfect storm for my body after the surgery, because like you said, surgery is major and your body has, there's a lot that it has to do to recover. And after the surgery, my body just really began shutting down. The infections were constant. I was sick all the time. A simple cold would put me in the bed for 3 or 4 weeks. And so I reached a point that I thought, I can't live like this. I want more for my life. I was very active and I wanted to stay active, and I didn't want when you're in your mid 40s, you still have a lot of years left. Yeah. And I didn't want my life to be one of someone that was constantly sick and bedridden. And so I decided that I was going to take things into my own hands. And what was being offered to me wasn't working for me. And so I started researching and I started looking into ways to heal my immune system. And that's where I started. And I couldn't sleep at night because I was sick. I didn't feel good. And sleep was not coming easily. And so I would go down the black hole of the internet and just go from one page to another and learn about healing. And I found that, I had no idea. Most people probably don't, that 70% of your immune system is in your gut. Mm. And what destroys your gut is antibiotics and birth control pills.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's why I have no immune system. So I just slowly started doing things to work on my wellness and giving my body the things that it needed. And I chose to not turn my back on medicine because I think it has its place, but I chose to stop going and asking for a pill for everything and looking at why these things were happening to my body and address that instead. And so that's what led me to becoming an integrative health practitioner. I healed myself. I haven't been on an antibiotic in over 3 years. I haven't had anything more than a sniffle in over 3 years. And it took time to get there because I was very, very sick, but I became very passionate about it. And I realized I was sharing it with my friends and family all the time, the things that I had learned. And a friend said to me one day, as I was kind of bemoaning the job that I was in a corporate environment, and I said to my friend, I need to find a new passion because this isn't working for me. And my friend said to me, you have a passion. This is what you share all the time. This is your passion. And the light bulb went off. And that's when I went and I found the Integrative Health Practitioner Institute. And I got my certification so that I could help everyone, but especially other women that just haven't ever been told there are things you can do. You don't have to treat the symptoms. Let's look at why you're having the symptoms and let's address that.
I want to come back to that statement, that working on things that you've never been told that you can do. So I'm going to say that so that hopefully we both remember. But first of all, I think it would be useful to explain what is an integrative health practitioner. Yeah. Because I've heard that and I don't know that I completely know what that is. And maybe in the UK, that might be different to what you mean in America. So from your perspective, what is that?
Yeah. So basically what an integrative health practitioner is, it's a little bit of health coach. It's a little bit of, we just really take the foundation of functional medicine and looking, and that functional medicine is really looking at the root cause. So whereas traditional medicine looks at the symptoms and treats the symptoms, let's look at the root cause. What is the cause of that symptom? So if you are having, hormonal issues and you're having horrible pain and cramps, why are you having those cramps? Mm-hmm. We can give you something to stop the cramps, or we can look at what's creating that problem and address the root of the problem. And if we can fix the problem at the root, then it takes care of everything.
Yeah. Else. You don't need the pills because you're managing what needs to be managed. The symptom doesn't exist anymore, or is made smaller.
Exactly. Yes. So, so that's the first piece of it. And then it's really the integrative part is really just looking at your lifestyle as a whole, because it's not just one thing that's created this problem. You know, it can be what you're putting into your body. So we're looking at the food that you're eating, and, you know, we can address that. Processed foods create so many issues in our bodies. And so we look at, you know, the foods that you're eating. We're looking at your environment. What kind of toxins in your environment could be creating this that we can control? There are so many things that we can't control, but what are things in your environment that are controllable? Is it the water that you're drinking that's unfiltered and has, you know, things in it that maybe are creating some problems in your body? Is it that you've been exposed to mold in the building that you work in? You know, you can't change the building that you work in, but we can do things to help you lessen the effects when you are exposed. So you're just toxins that you're exposed to, skincare that you use, the things that you put on your body. You know, so many medications are topical. They give you medications to put onto your skin, and that's because your skin absorbs it. And so the same thing applies to the personal care products that we use. You know, we don't think about looking at the ingredients that are in there, and we don't think about the fact that what we're putting in our skin is being absorbed into our body and could be affecting our health. So that's kind of the integrative piece of it, is really looking at that. We address one thing that I really address with my clients is just kind of the emotional piece of it, working through stress and anxiety. That I find, so especially with my clients with hormonal issues, stress is huge. And we live in a world where stress is, we almost wear it as a badge of honor sometimes. And it creates so many of the issues that we have. So really, that's the integrative piece of it. So we're looking at your health, we're looking at what's going on, we're looking at the root cause, but we're looking at it as a whole.
So. Yeah. And so that we're saying, because similar to me, like a different story to you, but similar experience, in that I went through health stuff and was given medication. I spent a year going around the hospital having different tests and being offered surgeries that may or may not help alleviate some symptoms. So I didn't have any surgeries because no one even knew what the issue was, and the surgeries that they were suggesting, they couldn't say it would help. It just could help. And the symptoms of some of the things that they were, the side effects of some of the things that I was being offered, were the same as my symptoms. And to me, that sounded like madness. Like, we can do this thing to your body that may or may not help. And if it doesn't help, you're going to have the same symptoms, and you're definitely going to have the symptoms forever if it doesn't help. But we trust medicine, we trust, like, it is the thing that we know. So I think it's so important that people are, and like you, I'm not discounting the medical model, absolutely we need that, but we also, I think, need to start to pay more attention to our bodies and think wider about what could be going on, rather than just looking at taking a tablet to stop a symptom, because then another one pops up and another one pops up. We don't look at it holistically. We don't look at things systemically, traditionally, with traditional medicine. And I know there's lots of doctors now that are starting to be more open-minded, but there's rules and regulations around the way that they can do things. So it's, I guess where I'm going is, for people that are going through these experiences and are, you know, just at that point where they're realizing that what's happening, they're not getting the help that they need, where can you suggest they start with making this change? So we're not saying throw everything that the doctor has said in the bin, but what else can we do?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing I always want to make clear, is medical doctors are needed, and they're there to help. But when it comes to chronic issues, that's not always the right place. And especially if you're not getting the help that you need. So what I always tell people, what I did, what I had to learn, and what I always with my clients say, is nobody lives in your body but you. And so if you're not getting the answers you need, it's your job to advocate for yourself. And it's okay to take what your doctor's giving you and expand on that. There's so much more than what's inside of that doctor's knowledge base.
Yeah.
You know, I think that as a society, we've been taught that medical doctors know everything, you know, and they're there to tell us everything that we need to know. And most of them will tell you they don't know everything. And they're very specialized in what they do know. And I'm very grateful that they're specialized in what they do know, because if I'm having a heart attack, I want a doctor that knows how to fix my heart. And so, I think what I would tell anybody that's on this journey now or doesn't know where to start is nobody cares about your health more than you do. And so you have to decide what's right for you. And it's okay to take what your doctor's giving you, but to go with other things as well. You know, when I, for myself, one of the first things that I did on my healing journey was change my diet. And I started eliminating, the first thing for me was sodas. I drank, you know, a Coke every day, multiple Cokes every day. And I think a lot of people do. And that for me was the first step, is stopping that. I was having terrible migraines, and I thought it was many other things, but when I eliminated that from my diet, the migraines went away. And so, you know, changing your diet and eliminating processed foods or foods that aren't serving your body has nothing to do with discounting the medical community. You know, it has everything to do with listening to your body, like you said. Listen to what your body's telling you. It's going to tell you what it needs. And so making these changes are, you know, the steps that you take, you can still continue to listen to your doctors and heal your body at the same time if what they're telling you isn't helping you find the answers. Like you said, you know, nobody really knew exactly what was going on. They were, and a lot of times that's what's happening, is they're just taking a guess.
It is
So
a best guess.
yeah, it really is. And so at the same time, you can be over here taking your best guess or working with a integrative health practitioner or someone on a more holistic level to work on your diet and your stress levels and your environment and all of the things that create a lot of it. And I know many times, so I do functional medicine lab testing, and we look at kind of, you know, a root level. And one of the tests that we do, I have a client that has been having lots of intestinal issues and lots of pain, and the doctors can't figure anything out. And she's gone from doctor to doctor, kind of like you. And it's that, you know, well, our best guess is maybe it's this, we can try this, but we don't really know if it's going to help, if it's not going to help. So we did a hair tissue and mineral test, and that test showed that number one, she had some elevated heavy metals. And number two, that her adrenals were very depleted. All of her electrolytes were depleted. And so she took this test to her doctor, and she said, "I feel like this has something to do with what's going on in my body." And he looked at the test and he gave it back to her. And when she confronted him on why he wouldn't even look at it, because in the beginning he just didn't say anything, he looked at it and gave it back. And she confronted him and pushed him on it. And he said, "Because honestly, I don't know what to do with it."
And I think that there's two thoughts I have there. One, it can feel really hard to advocate for yourself because they are the experts. They do know what they're talking about what they know, what they're talking about. They don't know everything. And it does feel hard. I mean, I know a part of my own story. I saw three doctors for a lump that I had on my shoulder, and three of them tried to tell me I was depressed. Not one of them looked at the lump. And it did get to the point where it's like, do I just accept what was being told? I mean, for me, I'm stubborn. No, absolutely not. I knew I hadn't manifested a lump. I had something I could show. But if it's something that is just going on inside your body, it can feel like you are making it up or being a hypochondriac, or it is a mental health issue rather than a physical issue. And then, of course, if you're taking antidepressants and you don't need them, that gets is a whole nother thing. I'm not even going to go into all of that, but it affects your body, same as the antibiotics you were taking. It affects your body, and it worsens symptoms. So advocating for yourself can feel so hard, but it's so important to do, because the more of us that do it, and the more of us that kind of say, "Hey, this is my experience," I feel like that's the only way we can impact any kind of change. because most doctors want to do what's best. Most doctors want to help their patients be well. They've just got to work in a system that exists. They have a framework that they have to work in. But if you happen to have a disorder or a disease that they are interested in, they've got resources as well that they can support you with. So, like, I think it's so important, and I'm just going to say it again, like, keep advocating for yourself, even if it feels like you're hitting your head against a brick wall, because not only does it help you, it helps other people. I've forgotten what my other point was, so maybe we'll go back to there's another point, but I really went into that one. The learning for yourself, like, it is that, you know, we all kind of know that when we eat certain foods, we feel a bit rubbish. So it is being that, having that curiosity and really noticing when I do this thing happens from a symptom, and trying to come at it, I think, because it can get obsessive, can't it? It can get kind of like you fall into this pit of, oh, I just need to do everything. But just like pick a thing and pay attention and like notice how that is. And like stress, like you said, stress is massive. Our bodies are stressed, not just on an emotional level, but on a level of if all we're drinking is fizzy pop, that is stressful for our body. We're not getting what we need. I feel like I should be going into a question. I've completely lost track of my own point as usual. Just because it's so important. And I think, like, I'm thinking back to parts of my journey, and it's like, it can feel so disheartening, like when you're going through all this stuff and you're exhausted, your body isn't doing what you want it to do, your brain isn't working properly, the medical professionals are looking at you like you've lost your mind, and that's the thing that resonated with what you said, like you wasn't prepared to just accept that. And that was the same with me when I got my diagnosis and I was told, this is life now, get on with it. Like, no, absolutely not. And some things can't change, but we can change a lot.
Exactly. And it's so isolating too. It feels so isolating when you're going through it. It feels like you're the only person in the world that's going through it. And I kind of made this my profession, and I've started sharing my story on social media and on podcasts. What I've learned, people reach out to me every single day. So many people are going through it. And I want to go back to what you said about antidepressants, because a lot of the focus of my practice is women with hormonal issues. And I know I experienced this when I was dealing with my hormonal issues, is that you're right. They don't even want to address what you're trying to tell them. They just want to hand you an antidepressant. And again, like you said, they're very confined in what they can do. They have a scope of practice and they can only stick to that. But I knew I wasn't depressed. I knew something was going on with my body. And I had reached the point, thankfully, at that point, I was done just accepting what I was being told. Mm-hmm. And I was determined that I was going to advocate for myself. And so I kept going and I kept saying, something is wrong with my hormones. My hair is falling out. My skin is terrible. I've gained 60 pounds and I'm eating 1200 calories a day. And the response was, you're depressed. Or, you know, my doctor said to me one time when I said, I can't lose weight, no matter how much I exercise, no matter how little I eat, I keep gaining weight. And his response was, well, I find that hard to believe because it's simply about calories in and calories out.
Right. And that's just a whole nother podcast, because if you occupy a bigger body, then immediately that's the first thing that you're taught. Well, lose weight and everything will be okay. And it's like, but as I got ill, I started to gain weight. My experience has been my weight gain as I've not been able to move so much. I've not been able to do this and this is going on. But some, not all, look at your body and say, you're in a bigger body, that's the problem. That will fix everything. And I mean, it just isn't true. It doesn't correlate. It's not, no.
Exactly.
You're starving yourself and you're exercise. I mean, I don't, but some people are going through that and are still gaining weight and are not being heard. And then because, like for me, I would get so frustrated that the doctor would not even look at this lump that I'd end up in tears, because what other choice did I have? I couldn't scream and shout. I was trying to be eloquent because, you know, woman, hysterical. You know, physical violence isn't an option. The only thing I would just cry because I was so frustrated at not being listened to. So, of course, ticks the box. She's depressed, not depressed, I'm really angry. Not being listened to.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's if anybody's listening and they're feeling that, don't stop. If you're not getting the answers that you need from someone else, go find your own answers.
Yeah.
You know, and there are people like myself. I'm not the only person out there. I mean, you can certainly contact me, but there are people out there that have taken this journey and have taken the time to learn, and we can help you. And I may not be able to find all the answers for you, but I can promise you, I can help you start. Yeah. And so, you know, I look back and just even 5 years ago, I was looking at pictures the other day from just even a couple of years ago. And I just look and I think I looked fine on the outside. Anybody that had looked at me would think I looked fine, but I can remember how sick I was. I was, you know, I was frustrated and I was overwhelmed and I felt terrible all the time. And I almost forget how bad I used to feel. You know, so it's, and I want to go back to what you said earlier too, about it can feel overwhelming because you feel like you have to do everything. And that's another thing that I just want to encourage everybody with is you don't have to change everything at once, change one thing. And what I always start with my clients is your diet. Nobody eats perfect. I don't eat perfect even now. I had a cookie yesterday and it was delicious. But I don't eat sugar every day. I don't even eat sugar every week. I no longer drink my calories. But it took time and it was small things and kind of what you talked about, how food can make you feel bad. We all have those things that we know we eat them and they make us feel bad. And there's so much focus on being in a bigger body. And like you said, when you don't feel good, you start gaining weight. And that's a symptom that something's going on in your body. I mean, obviously if you're eating 12,000 calories a day, you're going to gain weight. But for the most part, most of us are eating fairly normally. And if our body is not well, it's gaining weight. What I really focus on with my clients is we're not talking about your weight now. It doesn't matter the size of your body. What matters is what you're putting into your body and how it makes you feel. Mm-hmm. So we don't count calories. We don't count macros. We really focus on eating a diet full of whole foods. And then really keeping up with how it makes you feel. And I really focus on with my clients, what I call the 80-20 rule. So 80% of the time, we're going to do the things that we know are going to make us feel good. We're going to put the things into our body that are going to nourish our body and allow our bodies to feel the way we want them to feel and do the things we want them to do. And then 20% of the time, we're going to go have the things that we want, the pizza and the ice cream and whatever else it is. We're going to go to the party and enjoy a glass of wine. We're going to go to the movies and have some popcorn, whatever it is that you love. Because if you're doing all the things that nourish and feed your body 80% of the time, then 20% of the time, the things that you're doing to have fun and enjoy life, that's important too. And so that's really kind of the mindset shift that I work on with my clients is, because so many people think, well, if I'm going to get healthy, I have to give up this, or I can never have that. And it's not about deprivation.
No, and I'm very vocal about my thoughts around restrictive eating. It isn't, in my opinion, it's not productive. It doesn't nourish your body. And it is about, like you say, shifting that mindset away from weight loss, shifting it away from like what space your body is occupying and actually how is this nourishing my body, and when I eat this food, does it help me feel more energized, does it help me move and do the things I need to do, or do I end up laid on the sofa for 3 days because I'm crashing because everything's inflamed? And when you start to kind of know that, then you make a choice. And you're doing it with awareness of how it impacts your body, and 80% of the time you're going to choose to feel well, because who doesn't want to feel well?
Exactly. And it is, it's not about the size of your body. I have my entire life, along with all of the other issues, struggled with weight. And, you know, sometimes my body's been bigger, sometimes my body's been smaller. And I've always focused on these are good foods, these are bad foods. I have to eliminate this if I want to have a smaller body, or, you know, and it's completely wrong. We're taught the wrong mindset around food. Everything that comes at us every day and on these screens that are in front of us all the time are, you know, you're healthy if your body's this size and you're not healthy if your body's this size. But I will tell you, I've been as small as a size six and I was completely unhealthy, you know, and my body was completely shutting down on me. And so the size of your body has nothing to do with your health for the most part. Yes, there are some things that if you do have more weight that your body might be more prone to, but ultimately, if you are feeding your body 80% of the time or 90% of the time, even some people can do 90%, but if you're feeding your body the things that it needs, it's going to figure it out. Your body knows what it needs and it's intuitive. And the size of your body is going to be what it needs to be for you to live the life you want to live. And so the focus really shifting that mindset from these are good foods and these are bad foods. I can eat these and I'll be healthy, or I can stay away from these and not be healthy, or whatever it is. It's the completely wrong mindset. Mm-hmm. Food is not, it's not a reward. It's not a punishment. It's not good. It's not bad. Food is nourishment and that's it. Mm-hmm. And there's that piece of life because we've created a society where we celebrate with food, you know, and so we are social around food. And so that's great. That's where the 20% comes in. And so switching our mindset to that 80-20, 80% of the time, I'm going to nourish my body to live the life I want. And then that 20% of the time, I can go enjoy that life.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, I don't need to add any more to that. That just is, that sums it all up for me. So what do you think has been, because you said the gut health stuff, what else has been the kind of biggest shift for you? The thing that you've really noticed having an awareness of has helped you be more well?
So I think it's really just, again, looking at the whole picture. So just realizing that my health is more than just, you know, the size of my body, but it's really everything. And it's that goes back to that whole integrative approach. It's everything. What is my environment like? What is my home like? Have I created a chaotic home or have I created a peaceful home? And, you know, some people do live in very chaotic environments and they feel very out of control. And if you're living in a chaotic environment, it's going to affect your body. It's going to affect your health. So just looking at my environment as a whole, you know, I was in a work situation that was very chaotic and it was affecting my health and it was affecting not just my physical health, but my mental health. And so I spent almost 2 years working towards getting out of that environment. I didn't have the freedom to say, I don't like this work environment, so I'm going to leave. Most people don't have that freedom. But what I did have the freedom to do was control how I reacted to it. Mm. And so I made the choice to start making moves. And it took me almost 2 years to make that move out of that chaotic environment. And so I think the mindset is if you are in a chaotic environment, if you're somewhere where your environment is affecting your physical health, your mental health, you may not feel like you can do anything about it, but every day do something small to take you away from whatever is not serving you. And that's, mm-hmm. I think the mindset that I have kind of come to is I look at my life in every aspect, whether it's, you know, my work environment, my home environment, the people I'm spending time with. And if there's something that's not serving me, I find a way to move myself away from that.
Yeah. And that can feel really radical when it's not where you're at, because I think as a society, we kind of, there's a lot of messaging around, you know, just kind of accept how things are. This is how it is. Like, we have to do 50, yeah. 60 hour week works, you know, everyone's doing it, just get on with it. Like, we all have to do things we don't want to do. We all have to be in places we don't want to be in, or just these people are toxic. Oh, well, it's fine. Just keep them happy. Do this, do that. Until you start to kind of almost like the curtains fall away a little bit and you realize that actually I don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I might not be able to do exactly what I want, but I can do a lot more of what I want in this. And I don't have to have this conversation with this person that leaves me feeling terrible, because I can actually walk away from this conversation. I might not be able to walk out of the office, but I can say I'm not listening to this. And it shifts and it changes, and it, like you say, it's small little things. You can't do it all. You can't just wake up one day and change everything, because that is not sustainable. I mean, if someone's listening and they've done that, please come on and be a guest. I would love to hear how you did it. But for most people, that is not sustainable. It is the small choices. And the more you get into that mindset of that you've got choice, that there's other possibility, that if something isn't serving you, you don't actually have to put up with it. It's for me, that's been a big change. It is transformational, and it's once you make one change, it then becomes like, okay, yeah, that was a bit tough, but now I know what I'm doing. Uh-huh. And the next thing is easier. And it just becomes like, I couldn't now live the life I used to live before. I just couldn't. Anything that's not aligned for me, as soon as I kind of realize, it's like, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do.
Exactly.
I get to choose.
Yeah, exactly. And that feels so huge when you've never done it. But my advice to everyone is just do one small thing a day. That's it. One thing a day to move yourself towards where you want to be or towards what is serving you.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite quotes, and I go back to this all the time and I think about it. It says, it's funny how day by day, nothing seems to change, but looking back, everything has changed. I probably butchered the quote, but you get
it. Yeah, no, but we get the vibe. We know what you're saying. We know, it's true. And it's those moments. It's those small moments. And like, there's little things that, like, when you first start your journey, so like being told to breathe can sound like really patronizing. And of course we all breathe, but actually once you start doing it and you feel a difference, it's like, oh, okay, I get it now. Makes sense. Exactly. And so it is. And yeah, thank you so much for coming and chatting with me. I think we're kind of at time, but I don't know, is there anything else you wanted to share with your story and kind of where you've been, anything you want people to know?
I think that's the big piece of my story. My story is still continuing, you know, things come up every day, life happens. And so every day I just pivot when I need to. I assess what's going on. If I'm not feeling great for whatever reason, I take a look at what I've done. So my story is continuing and it will continue, and I'll continue to share my story. Because what I've learned, like I said, it's so isolating when you're in the middle of it, you feel alone. And so I don't want anybody to ever feel alone. Mm-hmm. I felt very alone, and I just felt like I had done something wrong. And so I don't ever want anyone to feel that way. So the piece of my story that I want to share is that my story is still ongoing. You know, I'm healthier than I've ever been. I feel great, but I still have things come up that I deal with. That's what I want to share with people is you're not alone. You don't have to go through it alone. There's somebody else that has walked this path that will hold your hand and walk the path with you.
Perfect. And your details will be in the show notes. So if anybody wants to contact you, then they'll be able to find you. And I would say, if we're not the practitioner for you, there are other people out there. So do try people out. And because it is hard when you are dealing with stuff on your own, there are other people that will have gone through this journey and will be maybe a breath ahead of you. And you could, if you can learn from their experiences and adopt what works for you, then why wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But thank you. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with me. It's been really interesting to speak with you and to hear your perspective about things.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you to those that have listened. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. As always, I encourage your feedback. I'd love to hear what you think. I'll be back next Wednesday with a new guest. So until then, do stay curious and be kind to yourself.